Blog Talk Radio.
Well, how about that? I forgot the daggone theme music. Hey, everybody, James Bostic here at Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We appear a lot of different places, Patriot Nation Radio Network being one of them. We do a live show here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The Thursday night program, of course, simulcast with those guys. News Without Filters, NW. News Without Filters. We do a simulcast, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We're also heard on the Talk America Radio Network, ICRN, the Internet Conservative Radio Network, WSTR Digital Broadcasting. A couple other places that I can't find my list and I can't remember. Before we get started, I want you guys to listen to this.
You watch those nature documentaries on the cable?
Yeah.
You see the one about lions?
Yeah.
Look at this lion. He's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out there. He's laying down under a tree in the middle of Africa. He's so big. He's so hot. He doesn't want to move. Now, the little lion comes, they start messing with him, biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. The lioness, she starts messing with him, coming over, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they notice this, and they start to move in. The jackals, hyenas, they're barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat the food that's in his domain. They do this, and they get closer and closer and bolder, till one day, that lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely, the lion's got to show the jackals who he is. Welcome. Guess what? You know who the lion is, America? I'm not going to tell you. It's a rhetorical question. You already know the answer. We're the lion. And what we're seeing right now is like phase three, where the jackals... And I love how Christopher Walken says that, the hyenas. You can almost see the sneer on his face when he does it. You know, they are. They're getting closer. They're nipping. They're becoming bolder. And that day, ladies and gentlemen, is coming. And what that day is going to be like, I'm not even going to try and guess. I'm not even going to speculate on it. But I'm going to tell you what. It's going to be a big day, you dig? It's going to be a big day. It's going to be a very busy day. And we're lucky, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. We've got our buddy, our friend, Scott Kesterson, who is out there in America, and we're getting ready to bring him up here in just a second. And he's got some folks with him, some remarkable young folks that we're going to be talking to called Team Ground Zero. Scott, there, man.
Mark, how are you? How are you, Mark?
Well, Mark's doing pretty good. This is James.
Well, hey, you know what? You know what caused me that throw is you couldn't remember his name yesterday, and I was running it through my head like, you know, the other show you were on is Mark's show, so that's where I got all screwed up. How you doing, James?
I'm doing good, man. Actually, we're two separate entities. We packed that Thursday night 1-2 punch with me leading off and him closing up. So where in America are you, man?
Hey, I'm up near Bozeman, Montana, and I've got some really great folks with me tonight, and I'm going to introduce them, and then I'm going to let you talk to them a bit.
Sure.
So when you talk about lions and jackals, I've got two young lions with me. Good. And it's a whole small team of lions. You know, the thing I keep hearing as I go across America is everybody's losing hope. And I hear this too much. I hear this about, you know, oh, you know, the miserable, nobody really cares about small towns anymore. Nobody's, we've got all the obstacles. I always hear the same thing. The liberals have all the money, and we're losing the fight. So I'm going to, a couple things I'm going to start with on this, and I'm going to pass it over to Team Ground Zero. So first off, there's a, I want to hit this first on the American brand. There's 62 million people that voted for Donald Trump. And the American brand is not a political party. It is an organization to unify red state. So what I've been reminding people lately is $10 a person times 62 million voters creates the most powerful political organization in the country that fights for small towns in rural America. And that's what we're pushing for. So I don't want to hear any more about how Blue has money and all this stuff, because you give me that type of fundings and the wars that we can wage on the propaganda level and the influence level and the improvement in small towns' access to education through libraries and learning centers and the mentorships we can give to young adults, it's off the charts. So that's the vision. And I want people to start embracing that. So that leads me into these two great young men here sitting with me that are our future lions. And they have two other friends that are working today, and they'll tell you a bit about that. I'll let them elaborate more on that. And this is what they call Team Ground Zero. They are Generation Z, folks. And we hear way too much about millennials, and I personally have had way too much first encounter experience with millennials. But the generation that follows them has their eyes wide open. They are aware of what's going on. And I compare them to the generation that grew up in World War II, because this generation has been exposed to the most vicious information war that the world has ever seen. And this is a generation that grew up on information platforms. They're aware. They love their country. They love the president. And I'm going to pass it over to them, James, to Team Ground Zero. Here you go.
Hi, I'm Will. And
I'm Charlie, and we're from Bozeman.
We're both from Bozeman. Today we're missing half our team, like Scott said, because they're out working today, which is something that Generation Z, we see a lot more of than the millennial group. And it's pretty interesting. And we're just trying to have our voices heard. We kind of get covered up by the millennials who sit around all day. And we're just trying to get out there and get this thing going and have our voices heard.
Well, you know what, guys, I'm really glad to have you here on the show, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. I know you probably heard the story about the lion there, and I think that you guys are aware that the day is coming when the lion's going to get up, and that's going to be you guys. And I got my question. The first question I want to talk to you about. You talk about, you know, and they have these names. It started with the kids from my Scott's generation, because we're in about the same demographic there. We were part of the baby boom, which was that post World War II boom, and then you moved from the baby boom into Generation X, Generation Y, and the millennials. I guess the question I want to ask you guys is what is it that prompted you to look at, say, Generation X, the Gen Xers, or the millennials, and say to yourself, no, this is wrong. This is not the path that we need to be walking.
Well, we see them sitting around, and we see a lot of complaining and not a lot of action. And so what we're trying to do is get our group out there, and we're trying to make a change, and we're trying to have our voices heard and actually get some stuff accomplished.
Okay,
so you
realize that when the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, and we also realize that when the next election, when that comes around, that our Generation Z most of us will be voting in that election. So we need to push out our thoughts and the things that we want changed, and that will help for the next election.
Okay. How old are you guys?
We're around the age of 18, all of us.
Okay.
So
all right.
In the upcoming election, we'll all be voting.
You still in high school? Are you still in high school?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, I'm in the high school business myself. I work in the high school, my daytime job, I work at the high school that I graduated from. And what would you say in terms of the schools that you guys go to? And I don't want to, I'm not trying to get divisive or anything like that, but I'm saying, where do you see most kids your age, most people your age, are they leaning more, are they going more towards the kind of thing with the freebies? What is it like there?
Well, and for my school, I noticed that it depends the group. The kids I hang around, the kids that get good grades, we're all at the top of our class. We all
right.
lean towards that. We want to get stuff done. We aren't like the liberals that are in our class, and like they tend to be the kids that don't want to get stuff done, that don't try as hard in school, and you can tell kind of by looking at them where they lean towards.
And I'm sure they probably have, when you guys have had some kind of discussions back and forth between the right and left, between the more conservative type teenagers and the more liberal type teenagers, what kind of arguments do they present concerning opposing your viewpoints?
Well, most of it, surprisingly, is inaccurate information that they have, which they hear probably from CNN mostly. But it's kind of funny to hear, because we oftentimes, the arguments they present, we just dismiss them right away because with facts, because they're so far from the truth. That's mostly what we occur in our high school.
Okay, well, what kind of
James? Did that leave you stunned?
Well, you know what? Listen, Scott, here's the thing. I am very pleasantly surprised. And here's why. Like I said, you know, I'm in the school business myself, and I work in the school that I graduated from, and it's a rural school. It's a lot bigger now than that 150 graduating class that I had back in 1980. It's a much bigger school, but okay, well, let me ask you guys this. Do you consider yourselves, based on political beliefs, based on your ideology and the things that you want to see happen, do you consider yourselves in the majority or minority in terms of your schoolmates?
In our school, I'd say yes, we are majority.
Really? That's even more refreshing, because I know kids like that in the school that I work in, and we have conversations from time to time, and it's the opposite. It's in my school, these guys are the minority, and and one of the reasons I think that they're a minority is because the other kids, I think there's a large lack of interest. What do you guys do when you're talking to classmates, or you're talking to someone that you say to yourself, you know what, oh, Biff, he's a pretty good dude. And he likes shooting. He likes guns. Let's just see where he is on a few other things. And how do you approach someone to kind of like talk about your point of view or to see where they're at?
Pretty easy to tell, because the ones who do shoot guns are pretty much always conservative.
Yeah.
So that's pretty easy to tell right there.
And living in Montana, it's the majority is conservative, so that helps.
Right.
But yes.
And they're usually pretty easy to spot, because they're usually whining, but so they usually approach us, but and then we're the ones who have to dismiss their arguments with actual facts, and sometimes that leaves them a little stunned and they don't know what to do. But
James, what do you find with your high school? You said you're pleasantly surprised. So what are you finding on your end? Because I'm going to be out there.
Well, the thing that bothers me fundamentally is not so much a right or a left as it is, it seems, because the kind of kids that I'm working with now, I'm uptight with on a regular basis, and that takes but it seems like more of an apathy, more of an indifference. I mean, there were some people, there were some kids, just like Ground Zero guys here, you could tell they were Trump kids. They came from hardworking middle class families. They had a mom and dad. They were together. They They were a reliable, you know, nuclear family unit. They worked hard in school. They probably had jobs, and they weren't in trouble. That sounds like I'm really stereotyping the rest of the kids in the school, and I don't mean to. But if I was to say, if there was anything that was opposing the pro-Trump people and the people, you know, the conservative types, it would be apathy. It wouldn't be liberalism. It would be apathy. It would be indolence.
Well, let me let Team Ground Zero answer that, and then I'm going to throw in some of my thoughts. Go ahead, guys.
Oh,
all right. Well, here's what I'm thinking, James, because here's where I'm kind of – I think it really doesn't matter – for me, it doesn't matter where you find a Team Ground Zero. I think that what I'm noticing is that – and do you know who Johnny France is, by the way? I'm going to jump in on this a little bit. You know who Johnny France is?
Name sounds familiar, but it's not familiar offhand.
He was the sheriff up in Big Sky that wrote the book Incident in Big Sky. He was a old-time sheriff that tracked down a bunch of mountain men the old-school way, literally out, tracked them by foot until he found them, and it was a kidnapping murder situation, okay? And I did an interview with him yesterday. He's a good old boy, and took a pretty heavy blow to from a horse in the head, which didn't help things. But he's a real good old boy. And he says to me something that's, I think, is straight up. And it's ironic because when you dig into Google's efforts right now to try to shape this gender neutral crap that's going on, they're doing the same thing. But it's coming from Johnny France from a very positive and old school way. And what he says to me is the youth need strong role models, because if they don't have strong role models, they don't know which way to go. And what I admire so much about Team Ground
Hell
Zero
yeah.
is they are now going, and I'm going to help them become a role model for their own generation. And I don't think that it is – I think a lot of – when you talk about apathy, if you feel like you're a single voice in a crowd, you tend to quiet down. The media's propaganda war is targeted less and less at our age group, because we're just blowing it off, shutting the damn stuff off.
Right.
And more trying to create so much noise that it disenfranchises a youth from the political process and then reinforces the elite into power. And when you get a young group of Americans like this, they come from, if you listen to the interview they did yesterday, it's pretty neat because they talk about, and then I want you to ask them here, but it's a diverse mix of in their families. So it's not something that it's just set up to be like monolithic thinking. Everybody's pro-Trump. But it's the point that these are young adults that have researched and made choices themselves about where to stand politically. And I'm so encouraged by that, because it's, as we've talked, it's solid research. It's good thinking. And facts are at the core of it. So what I'm hoping is that as we build this along, and they're committing to do like a video a week for the American brand, and I'm not going to push that, but I'm excited about that.
That's awesome.
And to do that sort of product, to start having other kids, other young adults — I hate to keep using kids, and I apologize, because when people are thinking this level, they're not kids anymore. They're adults, and they're Americans.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Right. And so
our citizens, man. These are our citizens.
Absolutely. And they're our future. And they take it seriously. So when you get young adults like this that are active, I mean, this is how you change the world. And ironically, this is the basis of a lot of the Marxist approach, is always to try to target the youth, brainwash them, get them to be, you know, activist drones, whatever. But this is an independent aspect, which to me is very powerful. And I think it has the ability to create a tsunami, because I think that a lot of the apathy that you're seeing, that I'm seeing, is coming from the fact that you just feel like you're a single voice in a crowd, and all that noise just smothers you down. I don't know your thoughts, but that's what I would say.
I think so. And I work with a millennial, and I'm not going to. I do. We're coworkers, and I love the guy, and I'm not going to run him down. But there are things that I see in his political ideology that I look at, and I it's locked in. And here's what I think. See, the guys that grew up, our older brothers and sisters, Scott, they were the hippies, right?
Yeah, right? Unfortunately, I didn't have anybody in my family.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so
yep.
Our older brothers and sisters, they were part of that hippie counterculture era. So they go on. Then they turn into the big chill kids, and they start having their own little hippie children that are imbued with their values. You and I came up at a time when we still were heavily influenced by those people of the greatest generation, our aunts and uncles, our dads.
Yep.
And I think that stuck with us. So the children, these guys that we're seeing that came along at the tail end of the Reagan era, the Bush era, do you see what I mean? It's like this generational swing from liberal to conservative in the values.
I agree and I disagree. And this is where I disagree. And it's not a criticism. It's just an observation. And that is this, there's part of the digital world, and maybe the guys want to jump in on this after I'm done here, but part of the digital world is it creates an enormous amount of independence. And with that, there's a lot of desire to learn. That's
right.
And they seek out things that aren't just passed on because the parents say so. So there's a lot of that really became a, especially within the military, that was a very cognizant awareness with Generation XY, which they tagged as XY because it was this new level of challenging authority, but not so much challenging authority to just be challenging it, but to question it, to be cognitively pushing that envelope. So why I say that is I'm seeing a lessening of the direct influence of the parent and an increase in the personal responsibility that the generation is carrying. And that's where I think that when you start finding groups like Team Ground Zero that is speaking peer to peer, I don't think there is a more powerful agent of change.
Well, I'm inclined to agree. I was really kind of painting with a broad brushstroke, but certain of those trends seem to be somewhat cyclical in how they come about.
Right.
Are these guys
You know me. I don't paint in broad brushes. I usually take the drill and bore the hole and drive the nail right through the hole. You know that.
You are play by play. I'm a color man. Okay, you're Howard Cosell. I'm Don Gifford. Here's the next question. And obviously, what's happening here is a positive, and like you, I am encouraged. You know, and that transcends any kind of pleasant surprise that this was, and it is awesome. I watched. My Wi-Fi is not working well, but I did get to see the YouTube video where you guys capped CNN, and I thought that was awesome. So,
yep.
What kind of outreach beyond the videos? I mean, are you thinking about like doing Ground Zero, Team Ground Zero chapters? You want to get a network established? What's the plan?
Yeah, that is our goal. We're going to be posting videos weekly, and you can go on our Instagram, and that's team. It's all lowercase, team_ground_0, and the zero is spelled out. And we're going to be posting videos on our Instagram. We're going to try and do one weekly. We just uploaded the watermelon shooting, that one's pretty cool. You can go check that one out.
Yeah, that was great. That was the one I got to watch. I dug that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to be all different. The goal is to get our generation and just a broader people into more involved in the political process and our process, and just to try and get them more knowledgeable on the subject.
You know, James, I've learned a lot being with these guys, and I'll give you a simple example. I'm assuming you text, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you and I use Facebook, and we use IM, even though I hate Facebook. We both use it, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, this generation, and I'll let them tell you, they don't use any Facebook. They don't even use texting. These guys know how to connect. And they connect in such a way that is so different from the way that you and I connect, and the way that they can move numbers on a digital space, meaning getting followers and stuff, is quite frankly, it's been an education for me. Their generation is tapped in, but it's such a different type of tapping, and it's not what they're concerned with. What they're connect with is not to, these aren't people that are lost in the digital space. These are engaged young Americans, and they're doing so. And you know, when you take Instagram and you take Snapchat, and they're using those forums. I sat one night at dinner with them, and just listened to them go through personal security and data security issues that is at a level that most people, even my age, would be struggling with on some of these platforms. And this is native to them. So the way that we talk about outreach, I'm leaving a lot to them, and they do have a plan. And we're going to help them as much as they need help. But there's a lot of this that I have to step back, will step back gladly and learn, because this is part of how we bring Red State together. The younger generation is soon to lead. And it's our responsibility, I think, to imbibe the values and step back a bit, because giving that the 14-year-olds are going to be voting in the next election, the more that we can let them step in and show us some way as we keep the boundaries of values and other things, I think it creates an unstoppable force, my personal opinion.
And that can be so effectively utilized in bringing to heel Washington embedded types that don't want to get with the program. It'll be a force that,
like
they haven't countered on, I think.
I agree. The Republican Party is, I said it the other day on the show, I'm not, and I would suspect that the guys here are going to say something similar. They talk about President Trump. They don't talk about Republican Party.
Right.
And I think that this is an important component. We need to be putting values as the basis of what we do. I really don't care what color party you're in. If you're upholding the American values, unfortunately right now, the two parties are pretty well defined. But if people are just running because they want to become a representative and their values are strong, the biggest thing we have to be able to do is not only promote values, but hold them accountable. And the only way you do that is the force in numbers and unity on the principles of values, the principles of constitutionality, the principles of nationalism. And then you start driving the spike through it, and you start stopping this crazy. My greatest vision, I'm excited with Team Ground Zero, because the millennials right now need to grow up and make a choice. We can't sit here and baby them anymore, okay? And we can't sit here and start pandering for their damn vote, because they're already half in Zuckerberg's pocket. But when you get aggressive young Generation Z coming up, and they're willing to tag into a fight with them, let it happen on social media, because I'll tell you what, there's nothing greater than watching a social media war between a younger generation that's even more adept at the platforms that the millennials created themselves. That's going to be a great one to watch. And you're going to get boxed in, and I can tell you who's going to win. It's not going to be the millennials.
This is all really, really good news when you look. Painting, of course, as I do in broad brushstrokes, again, this is all really good news in terms of that arc. You know what that long-term arc of we've got the wheel on the ship of state, and now comes the course correction. And it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to be a long-term thing. And to know that we have this depth on our bench, you know, in our roster, so to speak, that we can get into and count on, makes it so worthwhile.
I agree. I mean, my goal right now is to push this out as far as possible. I want to get this young group on Hannity. I want to get this young group out here on Wilco. I want to get them on the other shows out here. I'd love to see their video on the front page of Drudge. I mean, let's get real. This is part of what I keep saying about the American brand. Obviously, the American brand is the umbrella we're trying to pull things under. But the greatest compliment to an organization is to see a group like this that could tie in and become bigger than what I could ever imagine.
Yeah, that springs from that idea.
Exactly.
And I'm so impressed that the idea's taken root.
You know, and I'm not understating what I'm going to say here, because when you run around these small towns, and you know, we've talked about this, these small towns, the giving up of hope, burying your head in a bottle of oxycodone to lose your life. And then you come across four young Americans that are just as clear in vision as you've ever encountered, that just tell you straight up that this is the president we want, and this is why we support our president, and this is what we want in our future. You would just sit back on your heels and you go, oh my, I am so proud, because there is an engine coming and we want to fuel it. We want to turn it into a locomotive that's unstoppable, and it will literally knock the wind out of the liberal left. It's already in chaos, but these are people that are hardworking and believe in personal values and accountability. I mean, what more could you ask for young Americans?
That's the American thing, man. I mean, that is the essential of the American brand. That is what is uniquely American. Yeah. And it's just, you know, honestly, I've just been sitting here and talking with these cats and the whole back and sometimes I have to digest things. It's just kind of soak in on me before I can catch that concept. And I've done a lot of digesting since I met you, man. I gotta be honest. Really, and I am indebted. No, seriously, I owe you a debt. I'll not likely be able to repay, because when it comes to talking with you and talking about what you're doing and just things in general, last Thursday night being a very good example. You know, I've got to stay sharp, and I really appreciate you pushing me to keep my game up, because if I don't, I'm going to come in here one night and just be totally lost. And so yeah, what's happening here is when I see these things, and as I visualize them after being exposed to the idea, I look at it and I sit back and I marvel, and you got these four young people out here and. They're doing the things that we want to see. Not because of exposure to us, but through people like us and through those ideas resonating with these kids. Stopping the kids. I shouldn't say that. I'm like you, and I apologize, because they're not, when they can make these decisions, these young citizens, these young lions that are getting ready to run like the wind and eat everything in their path. Yeah. We've got, you know, we owe them a debt. We owe them a responsibility of support in any way we can. You guys are welcome to come on this program at any time that you would like, that, you know, that you need a forum and you want to talk about things. Scott knows how to get in touch with me. He can make me available. I'll make myself available. You know, this is some awesome stuff.
Well, James, what I want to do, and I'm going to say this here with you, because you and I've had a lot of conversations about the American Brand TV, right?
Right.
And I'll talk it over with Team Ground Zero, but I really think that we should set up a feature show, whether it's, and it's, we'll see how their schedule is, but maybe it's once a month, maybe it's twice a month. But I think that we need to just kind of, you and I open the show and bring up issues and let Team Ground Zero talk about things from their perspective, because our audiences need to listen and they need to learn. We've become too hard-headed and too fixed in the ground. And the youth is adaptable. The youth is fast on its feet. And they are the future. And we need to give them the space and the support to talk about how they see things. And it may not always agree with exactly how we see things, but it is time for us to take a step back and empower the future and give them the support they need. Because I'll tell you what, 62 million people voted for Donald Trump, and we have got to empower that as a unified force and reinforce it with the youth coming up.
And you know, the key thing there is, you're right, 62 million people voted for Donald Trump. They did not vote for the Republican Party. They voted for the ideals and the beliefs that resonated within them from what Donald Trump said and what he is doing now. And I'm not,
correct.
And I don't mean that in a cult type way, some kind of personality cult or anything like that. But, and I'm somewhat loath to compare it to Reagan, but I think you get the idea. He's obviously a man whose vision is one of what is best for America. And how can that be faulted?
James, put that to the guys here. I mean, where you and I are talking, this is their future. Let them talk about it.
Okay, yeah, fire away. What do you guys think? Is it, I'm not saying, but what was it that appealed to you when you said, you know what, and it was probably at some point he said something or he did something that you said to yourself, hey, this guy's not a clown like everybody says he is. He's not just a reality game show host or whatever. He's a man to be taken seriously, and I like what he's saying.
Yeah, well, I liked him since the beginning. He didn't need to be running for president. He had a perfect life, but he wanted to save us, our future, and he wanted to save the Americans that lived in this country. And I like that how much he loves America, and he's not afraid to say what he wants, and he says what's on his mind.
And when he says these things, go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead.
One thing we love too is that, like, he said what he thought would be best for our country, and he wasn't worried about how it would fit or settle with other people, and he didn't work around that to try and make it so everyone was happy. He did what he thought was right for our country.
See, James, the thing I find interesting about these comments is that how many times have you run into, oh, I voted for Donald Trump, but I just don't like the way he says things, right? And,
yeah.
You know, I don't like I don't like his Twitter. I don't like this, but I didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. And here we have four. Is this remarkable to me? You have four young Americans embrace his Twitter because they get what he's doing. When most of these people, when you talk to, they say they don't like his Twitter, don't even understand Twitter, let alone know how to use it.
Yeah.
And
put him in the White House.
Right. And so when you talk to, like, and I'm talking to Will and Charlie, I mean, I was laughing last night. They're like, okay, we got to, you know, if we're going to get numbers and we're going to get the millennials involved in this, we've got to pick a fight with them because then we know how to rally the troops around us. I mean, they get this social media thing. It's intuitive. And so what they see in the president, we need to listen to. If any of those folks out there are doubting President Trump, about time you listen to Generation Z. About time you listen to Team Ground Zero. Because when you have young Americans telling you that this is who they want as a president, there's a lot more to that statement than just the guy in the red hat.
Oh, exactly. Guys, let me ask you one more thing about this while we're talking about it. Was there any specific thing that Donald Trump talked about during the campaign? Or was there any specific moment? Talked a lot generally about, but what was the one point where you said, this is my guy?
You know, honestly, I can't even pick out one point because everything
right.
he was saying, I was saying, this is my guy. I mean, for us, obviously, his views on guns was very important to us.
Right.
We really liked how he wasn't afraid to address the topic of immigration like most politicians are. But that's the thing, he isn't a politician. He's a businessman, and that's another thing we liked.
Well, let's talk about immigration. How do you guys see what's happening in terms of immigration policies?
Well, with Donald Trump, I think he's doing a good job. But before with Obama, I thought it was awful. And that's the thing that pulled us so much towards Trump is how he wanted to stop illegal immigration, how he wanted to build the wall, and I think that would be a good thing for this country.
There are so many, you know, it's such a broad issue and it's such a complicated issue. But let's go ahead and pinpoint it down. His travel restrictions on the, I think it's seven countries, isn't it, Scott? Seven countries that are pretty deeply rooted in terrorism.
I think it's seven, James. I mean,
the number is. But when you guys think about that and you look to see that they are still, Hawaii has mounted another attempt to derail this. What goes through your mind when you think about the people that are involved on the judge level and in Washington, D.C., who are in favor of this? And you know that they're in favor of this. They're trying to stop this from happening.
Yeah. Well, I think the travel ban is a necessary thing for what's happening in today's world. And I'm going to quote this. It's like, if you have a bowl of Skittles and you reached in and took a handful out and one would kill you, would you eat out of that bowl of Skittles? So it's kind of like the same thing with bringing the refugees or all them into this country, traveling or whatever they want to do.
Donald Trump Jr. said that, and we couldn't put it better ourselves.
Exactly. And you know what? Since you guys are here, I'm going to share this with you. I've been recently relocating from one house to another. And in my move, I came across some books. And one of the books that I came across is called Building Citizenship. And it was published in 1953. And this was back in a time when civics was taught in school. Scott, did you have civics as a kid?
Yeah, we had not only civics, it was a big push to even try the top people in the civics course and government and constitutional course were all given an opportunity to apply for become Senate pages.
Yes, that's how they did it in the old days. The people who were in the civics classes or in the politics classes, they did. They had that opportunity to send them to the state capitol or on to Washington where they would get to watch these cats work. And this was a book. This was, I'm guessing, maybe based on what I'm seeing, a high school book. And it's about 600 pages long. It's a serious book on citizenship, and it covers it all. And I just want to ask these fellows here, how important do you think that would be to see taught in the school system again?
I think that'd be pretty important, especially for Montana, the kids here. Like, we get it a little better than when, say, you go down to other countries, other states, because we travel quite a bit, and I see it a lot differently in other states. So I think that'd be a good thing to bring in to kids our age.
I think the reason Charlie said other countries is we were just showing a picture of California.
You know what, in a way, fellas, what you guys are doing, and I know there's a young lady with you too, what you guys are doing is Team Ground Zero, in a way, is a hybridized version of a civics class. You've kind of like taken it upon yourselves to educate yourself in civics. And now that you're learning and you're understanding, you're starting to share that knowledge with other people. And that's missionary work, man. That's what you're doing. You guys, you're in the fields. And that's so commendable.
I think it's a little more fun for people to watch our videos than read a 600-page book. So it might help a little more for us.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, because this is – there's a lot of digestion in this book right here. I can tell that. that's what you guys are doing. That's what this book was. This is building citizens. It tells you exactly what we're going to do. It's going to teach you how this kind of works. It's going to teach you to operate successfully as a citizen of this country. And you guys are doing that same thing. You're taking those same principles intuitively, just like Scott said, intuitively, and where you have that intuitive understanding of them, plus you have this native, inborn understanding of social media and how to work in those spaces. Mm-hmm. You guys are civics teachers. Like I said, you're digital missionaries in the fields of citizenship, and that's something I can't do. I'm maxed out right here doing this. You know, hanging out behind the microphone. Scott calls in a couple of times a week. We throw it around and we talk, you know, just a couple of old men talking trash about the government. But you guys have an opportunity to do so much more and to be a great deal more effective and to see that. And again, Scott, I'm indebted to you for keeping hope alive.
Well, James, I'm going to throw a challenge to you. You know, I couldn't leave this without a challenge to you. You still there, or did your tin hat fall off? James, did we lose you? He's got a problem with his internet right now. Hey, James, did we lose you? We'll hang on here a minute. Check with Lisa. For all the digital aids we have. Okay, she's got a recording. Okay, so the challenge we're going to put to James is this, that since you're in the high school and you're teaching, what we want to do is have you identify a group of four young Americans that are going to become the next branch of Team Ground Zero. And that would be Team Ground Zero West Virginia. And get them linked up. And when I get out there, I'll work with them. And if they need any skills on video editing or things like that, I'll bring it with. And let's make that happen. So while you adjust your antenna, because I think in West Virginia, I'm pretty sure, James, that you guys still are probably using FM and AM transmitters to try to get on the internet. So you're doing like hand crank power systems out there. I'm not sure which. But when you redirect that antenna and you can tune back in, do think about that, because I think that's going to be the way we start to catapult this. As I carry this message across the country, talking about it every single day, linking this great team with other young Americans, and with you being in the schools and teaching, and I'm sure you can identify, maybe even get somebody other than a millennial as your assistant, which might be good too. But find four Generation Z folks that can really take the reins of this thing and get going to link up with the founding team of Team Ground Zero, and let's start making a state branch in West Virginia. So give that some thought. I think sounds like your end went dead. So we're gonna kind of sign off on this end. And I want to thank you very much for having us on the show tonight. For those folks that are out there listening, keep in mind you can find – this is a great show. Tune in every week, and I'm also going to be on the show on Thursday. But theamericanbrand.org is the main website. We have a vision right now. We're trying to unify all of Red State, and that's 62 million voters of the melting pot. And what that means is we don't agree on all things, but we do agree on some fundamental things, and that's values, a strong nation, America first, strong borders, and putting the value of American jobs, American faith back into our life. And that means rooting everything within the Constitution. So to do that, our vision is 62 million voters, $10 a piece to create the strongest political organization in the country. And that's our vision, and we want you to join us. So you can find us, support us at AmericanBrand.org, TheAmericanBrand.org. Also, make sure and check out this great young American team, Team Ground Zero, and you'll find their stories on Instagram, and go there, and it's team_ground_0 spelled out. You'll find it there. Check them out. Follow them. Spread the word, and if you have other groups that young Americans that want to join, have them link up through Team Ground Zero, and they'll help get them organized. And then as far as the American Brand, you can find American Brand at American Brand TV on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at The American Brand, and, of course, our YouTube channel at The American Brand. So that's it from our end this evening, and a big thank you to James for a fantastic show tonight and hosting us. And I look forward to getting out to West Virginia and working with him. And so from my end, God bless, and God bless this great country.
Thanks for having us.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, so just hang in there. We're going to play some music and take our bottom of the hour break early and try to figure this out. And
you are listening
to
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
you have done. I said, see, PC Rider, oh, see what you have done. Well, you made me love you, and now, now it ain't a good what I say. Well, I'm going away, baby, and I won't be back before.
Thank you very much. Take it on. Thank you. I'm a steamroller, baby. I'm on the road. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, of course, I just said that, man. Come on. Is there an echo in here? Okay. Well, I apologize for the technical difficulties. Not exactly sure what happened there. Had some microphobia go on. Don't know. Microphenia. Microphylactic shock. Something happened there. But anyway, hopefully we're back. And just in time to say goodnight. That was Scott Kesterson we were talking to, ladies and gentlemen, our friend from the Expedition Red Make America Great Tour. And some group and a group of people that he had with him. Team Ground Zero. Okay, these guys, high school seniors, on the move. They're oriented. They know what they're doing. And we're going to be hearing more from them. We're going to be hearing more from them because we're going to have them on this program, I'm sure, more often. And, of course, Scott will be with us again on Thursday nights. And, yes, Scott, if you're still listening, tuned in, I accept the challenge, my brother. And we're going to come up with a team, Ground Zero West Virginia chapter. Well, having said all that, let me say this. It's been a treat. Once again, I apologize for the technical difficulties that we had there and the very slow manner with which I was able to try and get things sorted out. We will be back Thursday, Lord willing, and River Don't Rise from 7 to 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, talking about all that stuff and taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the ships at sea, take good care of yourselves. And the British chick. Okay, we're going to go ahead and knock you out early. God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for the opportunity to get to visit with you. See you next Thursday, this coming Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and we will be taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. See you then.